welcome to You Ought to Know. Toby, is it windy out there?
Oh, my goodness. If I had just had an umbrella, I could have pulled a Mary Poppins.
Well, I just rechecked the wind, and on a Monday morning here in beautiful downtown Palmer, particularly over at the Palmer Municipal Airport, gusts have been in the mid-40s, and from my experience this year so far, the gusts have continued on up to 60-some-odd miles per hour, which is the highest I have seen in 2017.
Wow. I definitely can see that. It's been an extremely windy last couple of weeks.
Right, but the big question, and more, it seems to be progressing. We had some 40-mile-per-hour gusts, then we had 50-mile-per-hour gusts, and now 60-mile-per-hour gusts. So, and it's hard to predict. Yesterday, it sort of quieted down. It was nice, and this morning, here we are. But you made it. So what happens when you're, as far as driving, that's an interesting question I've had over the past. I've had the experience at different times of making a choice of driving one vehicle or another when the wind is blowing this way. And I know that I have been told in the past the lower the car, the better, meaning that driving a slab-sided SUV or truck is likely to subject you to a different experience. What's your opinion?
It absolutely does come down to the size and the shape of the vehicle. As you pointed out, if your experience while driving while it's really windy is going to be a lot different if you're driving a flat panel van versus a sports car.
Right.
Because when you're in a low slung vehicle, very aerodynamic, you're not going to feel the effects of the wind gusts as much. Whereas as if you're in something that's basically acting like a sail as you're driving down the road, you're definitely going to feel it. Then again, I've also been in some smaller vehicles that were very lightweight, that were very interesting to drive when it was gusting winds. I used to own a Mini Cooper that I swear to God, so a couple times tried to take flight on me. So it just kind of depends upon the type of vehicle. But, as you pointed out, the more aerodynamic, low-slung vehicle, the better chances that you are going to have of having a better driving experience when it is windy out.
So we have the aerodynamics of the vehicle, and then we also have, as you're suggesting, I think, the weight. If you have a very lightweight big vehicle, that would probably be the worst combination versus a heavier, low-slung vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Got that out of the way. So what's on tap here? What would you like to talk about today?
Well, we were talking about, we had Andy from Napa come in last week, and, we were talking about parts ordering systems, how we get, the logistics behind getting a part delivered when we're doing a repair.
Right.
But we also started to kind of talk about, the parts and quality of parts that you put on your vehicle and how it affects the overall longevity of the repair.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I wanted to kind of touch on today is that the fact that the cheaper part is not always the best part to put on your car.
Very good. Okay. And very often we use terms like aftermarket, versus somehow certified and provided by someone who says this is better than that. What kind of certifications are there for parts?
There's really, it's not so much a certification process as it is, we talked about warranties last week.
Right.
For myself and for my shop, we're really big on warranties and what type of a guarantee can we put behind that part, because as we also talked about last week, I've seen brand new parts straight from the dealer fail right out of the box. So it really kind of depends upon, the type of warranty that comes with that part, as well as obviously quality too. You'll hear when you're getting a repair done on your vehicle, you'll hear terms like OEM or OEM quality,
right?
Or, you know, in OEM for people who may not be, you know, super clear on that term, it stands for original equipment manufacturer. So when you hear the term OEM, you know, more than likely, if somebody's associated the term OEM with a part, they got it from the actual dealer or manufacturer of that vehicle. And I'm sure, as most people know, manufacturers don't, I mean, very, very rarely do they actually make their own parts. You know, like airbags are usually made by a different company, and then, say, Ford will buy their airbags from that company and put them in their vehicle and put the Ford stamp on them. It's just cost prohibitive for a manufacturer to make every single part for that vehicle. So, you know, a lot of parts they will put on that are made by other companies, like the spark plugs that go in a vehicle. You know, generally those are made by a different company like Denso or NGK or Bosch. Fuel systems, Volkswagen, Audi, Mercedes, fuel systems, they're all designed and manufactured by Bosch. So, you know, it kind of depends on where the actual part is actually made. Now, when you hear the term OEM quality, that means that quality of that part is like what came from the factory. So, like with my shop, when I do a repair, I can get a better part price if I go direct to the manufacturer for that part. So even though the spark plugs that I put in your car may not say Volkswagen or Audi on the side, they are going to be made by Bosch or NGK or whoever made that spark plug for your car for the factory.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's helpful to understand that. So as you're talking about this, I'm thinking what we have noticed, what we were told by producers of vehicles, that their newest model is oh so wonderful. It's much improved over last year's model or 2 years ago or whatever. This is part of the process of selling new vehicles and encouraging people to consider buying a new vehicle because of improvements. But that also, I would think, produces a very interesting question for a repair shop. As vehicles evolve, sometimes perhaps there has been a marketing process that may overstate the revolutionary quality of a new model, but there are changes. And when those changes happen, sometimes you have to have a little time before you can tell whether, even though a vehicle has gone through a long process to determine it's going to run properly, et cetera, whether the new parts, et cetera, in that will last longer than others. Or do you have some overall sense when you're looking at a wide range of different vehicles, how some people are less likely to produce a vehicle that is better in terms of all of the myriad of parts that are in it? That's a big question.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because I was just talking with my husband the other day about we were driving a brand new Ford Focus.
Okay.
And not to purchase. It was just a circumstance that came about that, you know, we were driving this brand new Ford Focus. And I was commenting on the transmission, because to me, it was shifting differently. It was just, it felt funny. So I was inquiring as to what type of a transmission was in it, because to me, it felt like it's called a CVT transmission, a continuously variable transmission.
Right.
And, you know, and those have a very odd feel to somebody who's maybe not familiar with how they work or how they operate. And it wasn't, you know, it was just a you know, how the vehicle was shifting. But, you know, you do have all these variations on and improvements on models. And as you kind of insinuated a little bit earlier, some of these improvements, although they're marketed as improvements, and companies, manufacturers do go through a fairly rigorous research and development period on these new improvements on newer models and stuff like that. You're right. The improvements are not always necessarily, quote unquote, an improvement over the long term. There are lots of new technology or new styles of transmissions or injection systems that, you know, sound like a really good idea at the time. But over the long term, you do start to see high failure rates of certain components in the vehicle. And because of the age of the vehicle, by the time you start to see those failure rates, lots of times at that point in time, the vehicle is in an independent shop because it's out of warranty.
Right.
So, it's really kind of, I don't want to say it's hit and miss because it's really not, but it's, you know, sometimes what is tried and true should probably be left alone. But at the same point in time, the manufacturers, as you pointed out, are always hard pressed to come up with the next new improved feature that will lure the customer into the dealer to buy a brand new vehicle. So sometimes, you know, you can have a vehicle that has a new improved style transmission, and that is the same concept, maybe not the exact same transmission, but the same concept as the vehicle that's right next to you at the stoplight, where, you know, yours is going to last 6, 7, 8 years, you know, 100, 150,000 miles, whereas that person's right next to you might last only 30. We do have a case of a car, a customer who came in last week and was talking to us about his particular car that he's already gone through 3 transmissions on, and he's only got 60,000 miles on the car.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So it's either something inherent in that vehicle or operator error of some sort, yeah.
In this particular instance, it is an inherent flaw in the transmission, which also happens to be a CVT style transmission.
Wow.
I'm not the biggest fan of CVTs, in case you can't tell. they can be problematic. So
that leads to an interesting question in your experience. I keep thinking, having done some work on vehicles myself in the past, I know I have memory of very easy working, and we've talked a little bit about that, how over time, what used to be a very clear engine area where you could go in and recognize and see what was happening, things have become more complex and in many ways crowded. Are there vehicles that are much easier to work on than others across the spectrum? Or have all modern vehicles become difficult?
You know, for the most part, all modern vehicles are fairly difficult to work on. I can tell you this. First of all, I know that I've talked to you about my history before. My history is not in turning wrench professionally. I've never been a technician by trade.
Mm-hmm.
Have I worked on cars? Yes, absolutely. I've worked on cars. And can I do it? Yes. But if you were to put me in front of a brand new 2017 Volkswagen Jetta right now, I would be hard pressed to come up with the different locations of certain components. I would have to spend quite a bit of time poking around in the vehicle, trying to refamiliarize myself with where everything is at and how everything works together and how everything is laid out. And I mean, that's talking about just in the mechanical sense. I mean, we're not even talking about the different communication systems, the different module locations. When it comes to that kind of stuff on more modern vehicles, I would definitely be behind the times on that. For the most part, I mean, it used to be that if you stuck with, say, a Honda or a Toyota, those were always a lot easier to work on than, say, a BMW or a Mercedes. They required less specialized tools. They had, an electronic system in there, obviously, but it was, simplified. It wasn't very complicated. You still had to have special tools to work on the vehicle, but not nearly as many as you would, say, a Jetta. So they were a little bit easier, but, you know, last 4 or 5 years, that's changed dramatically. Even on domestic vehicles, you know, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, I mean, they've all come a really long ways in the last several years, and they've got a lot of new technology on there, and, you know, everybody's trying for improved gas mileage, which means they're going with smaller engines, but they're putting turbochargers on them to try and increase the horsepower while still maintaining fuel efficiency. So, you know, they're trying all these different things, trying to achieve different results. You know, it's not so much the old adage anymore of there is no replacement for displacement anymore. It's more, you know, smaller, more efficient, heavy on the electronics, heavy on the software. So I would really be hard pressed to come up with a more modern vehicle that is quote unquote easy to work on.
Ah, okay. Well, I would think that maybe somewhere out there, there's a manufacturer who is attempting to do that and say, this vehicle is very, well, I know a class of vehicles that presumably may be in that category, and I'm thinking of electric vehicles by eliminating some portion of the combustion engine, or totally eliminating combustion engine, might be a move in that direction. But no one, to your knowledge, has said, we're going to market a vehicle that says this is the easiest vehicle to work on of all vehicles being sold today.
I do not know, and this is why, probably. First of all, manufacturers don't want you working on your own vehicle. They want you to be reliant upon bringing your car into the dealer to have it worked on, so that way they can, you know, keep you coming back as a customer, you know, because the way they view it is, okay, great, we sold this guy his car. Now he's going to bring it back for the next X amount of years because the vehicle's under warranty. So we're going to have him in here over the next couple of years. And over those next couple of years, while he's getting his vehicle worked on, you know, he's going to be walking around and, oh, by golly gee whiz, there's this brand new vehicle sitting out here on the showroom floor that he happens to look at while he's getting his oil changed or whatever. And, oh, look, it has this and it has that, and, you know, his old car doesn't have this, and next thing you know, he's going to be trading in his older vehicle on this new one that's on the showroom floor. You know, they want to keep you in there as a customer, because as long as they can keep you in there as a customer, then they can keep marketing their new stuff to you and keep making money off of you. You know, that's what they want. They want to make sure that you're there as a customer and that they're the ones to take care of all of your automotive needs. You know, the second thing is, too, is as the market changes and people, you know, they want all these different gadgets on their car, heated seats, you know, backup cameras, that kind of stuff. I mean, all that kind of stuff is exceedingly difficult to work on in your driveway. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, too, and is, you know, people like you who do like to open up the hood and check and tinker around and do stuff on their vehicle over the weekends, they're kind of a dying breed. You know, we're seeing a higher increase in people who really want to have their car start in the morning and keep it reliable and keep it safe, and they would much rather have somebody else do the work on the vehicle for them because they have other things going on in their lives and just would really prefer not to have to do things like change their oil.
Right, right. Well, I guess there's also that other aspect as things get to be more complicated in keeping, and you've pointed out that you have to keep up to understand some of the features and things that can be done. But also there's, I would think, something of the safety issue. People sometimes bring their vehicles to the dealer, particularly under warranty period, because they want anything that may turn up as a warranty repair to be done so the car remains reliable. And there's that aspect of it too, I guess.
Right. And definitely, because, you know, in any good shop, when they have your vehicle in the, when they're doing work on it, they're going to do an inspection on it. So even though things like oil changes and spark plugs and belts, those are considered wear and tear items, those things are more than likely not going to be covered under warranty, as you know, as long as they're being replaced for maintenance purposes and not because of a failure purpose. You know, those things aren't going to be covered under warranty, but people will generally take their vehicle back to the dealer to have those services done, just because when, you know, the dealer does an inspection, they might come back and say, okay, you know, Mr. Jones, we got your oil change today. We did your inspection. We found the seal. It was leaking. It's covered under warranty. We went ahead and replaced it, or, you know, we will be replacing it, or we're going to order it, or whatever it turns out to be. You know, so even though you're paying for that service, you know, they still might find something under warranty that they can fix and repair. And just so people do know, if you're listening, just because your vehicle is under warranty,
right,
does not mean that you have to take it back to the dealer for maintenance items. Theoretically, you could do every single oil change, you could do every single service yourself or at another shop, and as long as you keep the records for that maintenance, the dealer, the manufacturer, cannot deny you warranty work on your vehicle because you've shown that you've maintained it, and you do have that freedom to choose to do your maintenances either yourself or at an independent shop. It's called the Magnuson-Moss Act, and
right,
it's something that not a lot of people know. A lot of people assume that, oh, I bought a brand new vehicle, it's under warranty, I need to have all my services done at the dealer, and that's not true.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good information. Well, we've managed to pretty much go through our time here, Toby. Any last comments before we finish up?
Just once again, everybody drive safe on the road. It's super windy out there. I'm sitting here in my office just listening to it just howl. It's super windy out there. But as always, if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask me at any point in time. You know, I'm a shop. Edmunds Import Auto in Palmer, down there by across the street from the fairgrounds. Feel free to stop in, check us out, ask us any questions you may have about your vehicle. We're always happy to talk cars with people.
All right. Thank you, Toby Edmunds, for another edition of You Ought to Know. Have a good day and stay safe out there.
You too, Mike. Thanks.